Hello, my name is Joey Kelly, and you're listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I believe and preach the old-fashioned gospel, the same thing that Paul and the other apostles preached. Jeremiah 6, verse 16 says, "Thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where is the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls." And that's what we're going to talk about today. If you have your Bibles, please turn with me to the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 6, a very familiar passage. It says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple." And it says, "Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. With twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And it says that the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the whole house was filled with smoke. Heavenly Father, I believe that you have something for us today. Please help us to hear from your word. Please grant us understanding. As your text today says, please grant us understanding. Give us ears to hear, a heart to understand. Please help us today, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. Again, a very familiar passage. If you've been in church any length of time, you've heard this. Verse 8, in fact, has been used by practically every missionary that ever preached a sermon back home, raising money or asking for volunteers to go to the mission field. "And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, Here am I, send me." Again, a very familiar chapter in the Word of God. But Isaiah saw in a vision God. He saw God on his throne, and it says, high and lifted up. And his train filled the temple. God is high and lifted up. He's above earth. He outranks everything in the universe. He created the universe. He's high and lifted up. And we all should look to him and look up to him. We often mention heaven. That's above us. We're here below, but God is above us. And it says his train filled the temple. And the last time I talked on this, I want to say it was just a few weeks ago. It's not a locomotive, but as a bride, as she walks down the aisle, there's that trail, that train. But it says that the seraphims, whatever a seraphim is, something like an angel or maybe something odd, I have no idea. But it says that there were a couple of them, and they cried or yelled or called out one to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts." We sing the song, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," etc. I won't sing today, my voice is not right. But the hymn says, "God in three persons, blessed Trinity." I suppose that's the right interpretation of verse 3 here. But we do know that God is a thrice holy God. God the Father is holy, God the Son is holy, and God the Holy Ghost is holy. And I know I'm not doing it justice. I know I'm failing to get it across. But in the text we read that Isaiah was overcome at the majesty of the Lord, the greatness of the Lord. He was overcome. And it says in verse 5, "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips," it says, "and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." When he caught a glimpse of God, and I don't understand it, but he was in a vision. He was standing in the vision right before God in the temple. But you and I, when we catch a glimpse of God, not that we could see him with our eyes, but as the word of God is preached, and as we read or what have you, or maybe there's a hymn that we hear or something on the radio or something, and it touches our heart. As we catch a glimpse of God, we realize his greatness, his majesty, and that he's high above us. And it causes us to think less of ourselves. Again, up against the greatness and majesty of God, we seem so small, for indeed we are. But then he begins to complain, not about the things he saw, but just being in the presence of God. He realized that he had unclean lips. That's a symbol, unclean lips. It means that his speech was wrong. You know, it says that we're to speak things that edify. It says we ought to think on these things and we ought to speak these things. We ought to speak holy. We ought to speak righteously. We shouldn't, for instance, complain, but we should be positive. And I don't really buy into the worldly idea of positive and negative. I'm not talking about that. But we should bless and not curse. We should edify and not tear down. We should order our speech aright, as it says in another place. But Isaiah, when he caught a glimpse of God, he realized that he didn't speak right. And not only that, he lived back home with a bunch of people that didn't speak right. Their speech was unholy. And it's so easy to focus on our problems and our situations and our complaints, us, when the Bible plainly says that we ought to be concerned about the things of others. Unclean lips and a lifestyle and a community and a way of life of not speaking right. But God saw his problem and he directed, I suppose, one of the seraphims in verse 6 to fly to him or what have you. And it says he had a coal, a live coal in his hand, that he had taken with the tongs from off of the altar. And he laid it upon my mouth, Isaiah said. He touched my lips with the burning coal. And the seraphim said that because it's touched your lips, your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. And again, some of this is symbolic. I understand that. But the language here that a coal was taken from the altar with tongs. We can go to Exodus and read about the tabernacle of Moses and the construction of the tabernacle and the temple. We can read about the brazen altar where the sacrifices were made. And I don't want to go through all of the pieces of the furniture in the tabernacle of Moses. I don't have time. But in the holy place there was the golden altar. And they would take from the brazen altar outside, they would take burning coals and bring them in and put them on the golden altar and then sprinkle or drop spices on them. And that whole place was filled with smoke as the spices burned. But we just read that as the seraphims that Isaiah saw cried one to another, that the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the whole house was filled with smoke. What Isaiah is seeing in the vision resembles the tabernacle. It resembles the tabernacle in the wilderness that Moses made. And in fact, the tabernacle, the physical tabernacle that was in the wilderness, is a poor representation of the throne of God. But James said in James chapter 3 verse 8, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. When Isaiah caught a glimpse of God, he realized the sin in his life, and he realized that out of his mouth proceeded unclean things. And James, when he wrote his book, he undoubtedly thought of this passage we're studying today, of Isaiah and his unclean lips. But in verse 8, and we covered verse 8, God saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And Isaiah said, here am I, send me. Jesus said to pray that God would send laborers into his harvest. That is the Great Commission. We should be about winning souls. But in verse 9 and verse 10, this is what God said, God's commentary on the call to go and do missions work. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not. And see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. You say, I don't understand. I thought God wanted to win souls. I thought God cared and loved us so much that he sent his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish. And that's true. But here he's saying, yes, go, preach. But tell them, hear, but don't understand. See, but don't understand or perceive what you're seeing. Verse 9 and 10, they're hard verses. They're hard verses. I don't think it's necessarily hard to understand when you see the context, but they're hard or difficult verses. He said, go preach the good news, but as you preach, they won't understand. You try, you labor, you do everything you can to preach, but they'll see and not see. Verse 11 and 12, it perhaps gets worse. Then said I, Lord, how long? You want me to go preach so that they don't hear? How long is this supposed to go on? Then he answered, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. You say, preacher, doesn't God want people to be saved? And absolutely, yes, he does. If God didn't want people to be saved, why John 3:16? Why have his son killed? But you know as well as I do, there's a church in some places on every street. In some towns I've been in, practically every corner. I'm on the radio preaching to you. There are other stations in town. There's television, especially on Sunday morning, I guess. But most people don't want to hear. Most people do not want to hear. We do everything we can to preach, and we pray, and we prepare, and some of us will go to Bible college or seminary. We do everything we can, but the fact is most people do not want to hear. And God certainly understands that. And again, these verses here, verse 9 through 12, they're difficult verses. It's the Bible. It's the good news, except this doesn't sound like good news. But I believe that these four verses here, verse 9 through 12, are speaking prophetically. The Bible says that Israel is the apple of God's eye. It says that he decided on Jerusalem to put his name. He called out the Jews from all the people of the world and set them apart. And he revealed himself to them. He called Abraham out of Ur of the Chaldees and said, go, just go, I'll show you where to go. And he led him to the promised land. Took a while to get there. They had to go through Egypt. But eventually the Jews came out of Egypt by the power of God, delivered from Egyptian bondage and brought into the land that God promised Abraham. But you see, a prophet cries. A prophet not condemns, but shows the people where they're doing wrong. An evangelist tells you the good news, and sometimes he'll tell you the bad part, I guess. A pastor will pet you, check in on you, go visit you, sit for hours and listen to you when your family member is sick or go to the hospital. But the job of a prophet is to tell people when they've done wrong. And this passage we're studying looks at the long game. How, after all the revelation that God had given to Israel, they still rebelled. God delivered them from Egyptian bondage. And still, while they were yet in the wilderness, they wanted to make a couple of golden calves and worship that instead. And the story of the Old Testament, and really the whole Bible, but the story of the Old Testament is what could have been. All the things that God did, all the opportunities that the Jews had, they had King David, they had King Solomon, the richest man that ever lived, I suppose. God said, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He's the protector, he's the provider, he's all of these different attributes that we study in Bible school. But the people would not. He sent prophets to them, and one after one, the prophets were killed. And finally, and again, he sent judges, he sent prophets. He even had them carried off to Babylon for 70 years. And for a while, they put away their idolatry. They stopped worshiping other gods for a while. But when God sent his son, King of the Jews, the promised Messiah, we know the story. He was killed. And these four verses here in Isaiah chapter 6, they tell of the sadness and the loss and what could have been and the judgment of God that fell upon his people, Israel. And we'll pick this up next week.
One night while I was sleeping, I had a dream so fair. I stood in old Jerusalem beside the temple there. I heard the children singing and ever they sang. I thought the voice of angels from heaven in answer rang. I thought the voice of angels from heaven in answer. Jerusalem, hark how the angels sing, Hosanna in the high. And then I thought my dream was changed. The streets no longer rang as with the glad hosannas that the little children sang. The sun grew dark with mystery, and the morn was cold and chilled as the shadow of a cross arose upon the lonely hill. As the shadow of a cross arose upon a lonely hill.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem, lift up your gates and sing. Hosanna in the highest. Hosanna to your King.
And once again, my dream was changed. New earth there seemed to be. I saw the holy city beside the crystal sea. The light of God was on its streets, and the gates, they were open wide, that all might enter, and no one was denied. No need of moon for the stars by night, or the sun to shine by day, for it was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away. It was the new Jerusalem that would not pass away.
Jerusalem, Jerusalem,
You've been listening to the Joey Kelly Broadcast. I hope you've enjoyed the program today and pray that the Lord has convinced you to follow Jesus Christ in the way. If you want to know more about the ministry, you can visit my website at joeykelly.net and click the radio link. Or if you like, you can write me at 3111 46th Street, Metairie, Louisiana 7001. And until next time, this is Evangelist Joey Kelly, encouraging my friends to take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there.